find that verse, you can stand and we'll begin. Nah, okay. John 3:16. No takers tonight, huh? Well, you know, Brother Scott asked me if he changed my mind, and I said, no, he ain't changed my mind, but as I look out across the crowd, I understand why tonight, as I fought with this message earlier this week. But let's stand as we read the Word of God. Y'all read it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the house that You've given us to come and to worship in, Lord. Lord, we thank You for Your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, for every drop of blood that He shed on Calvary for us, Lord, we thank You. Lord, we lift this service up to You, Lord, for Your honor and for Your glory. Help me, Lord, only to speak what You have me to speak and say what You only have me to say. Lord, there is nothing in me, but Lord, You can do it all. And we pray, Lord, for Your presence among us. Lord, be with Brother Garrett and Miss Karen in the back, as Lord, as they teach Your youth, Lord. Help the children to behave themselves and to listen to Your holy word. If there's, Lord, if there's one of understanding, we pray for that one soul. Lord, if there be a lost one here, we pray for their soul also. Lord, just bless this time. Help us to push the word out and allow Your Spirit to control this service. In Christ's name we pray. All right, so I took John 3:16. If you would look at it, I think there's four commas in it. So we're going to divide this verse up into four places. It's going to go like this. For God so loved the world, this section is love, that He gave His only begotten Son, we're going to call this section the gift, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, this is the promise, and lastly, but have everlasting life, and this is the forever. The word for, which is the first word of our text, if you were to look it up in the dictionary, has five or six different meanings. The meaning that best fits here is used as a function word to indicate a purpose. The purpose that is indicated in this verse is God. So who is God? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He is the creator. Exodus 3:14, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. He is the great I am. Meaning He is, all that was, and all that will ever be is God. Revelations 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want to start by telling the history books have it wrong. The science books have it wrong. The evolutionists have it wrong. Fox News and CNN won't even mention His name unless it's in a blasphemous way. They got it wrong. Even the Disney Channel today has got it wrong. TV shows today, you know, they promote women as head of the household instead of the men. They have it wrong. But men, to be honest, that's kind of our fault today. We have not stepped up into the position that God has called or commanded each man to be. So we don't even have the right, you know, to fulfill that role because we turned it down. So that's the world, why the world laughs at us today. So we don't even have it right. And neither do most churches today. They don't even have it right. So what has it right? The operating manual to our lives. The Word of God has it right. The only book that was inspired by the Creator, the Bible, says in the beginning, God created. So if there is a purpose, there has to be an action. The purpose is God, and the action is His mighty love. It's giving, it's promise, and it's forever. You know, I've said many times, you know, we don't really have words to describe God's love. But the one I'm going to use tonight is everything. From the beginning, He has loved us. Even though Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, He clothed them and allowed them to live because He loved them. He spared Noah and his family because they found grace in His sight because He loved them. You know, he was ready to destroy the world in his only in his creation of mankind. But because of love, he didn't. It was God's love for the Israelites that he sent Moses into Egypt to bring them out. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. God's love is forever, and it shall never end. God's love for us is truly greater than our finite minds can comprehend. For someone to know that everything that we would do in life, all the sin that we would commit, all the tragedies this world has gone through, the wars, the laws that are contradictory to his own word, and he still loved us enough to send his only begotten son. There's not one of us here today that will not lay down their life for their own kid or for their grandkid. But I don't know one of us that would gladly give up our own kid for somebody else. And not only that, this other person is a liar, a thief, a murderer, or whatever crime you can imagine they've done. Could you imagine giving up your only son, your only begotten, for a sodomite, a rapist, a prostitute, a child predator? How about giving up your son for the Hitlers, the Saddam Husseins, the Bin Ladens of this world? Would you do it? He did. And he did it because he loved us. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For when it says, for God so loved the world, he meant all the creepy, crawly people, too. We categorize people in our own minds. So-and-so is this way, or they act this way, or they belong to this group of thugs or convicts, or you name it. God uses one word that fits us all, and that word is sin. To be honest, there are only two type of people in the world. That's lost people. Save people. For there is none righteous, for all have sinned. God's love is eternal and never ending. It never stops and is always flowing. Isaiah 58:11 says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. His love does not fail us. And it's always sustaining. Our petty love for him more likely will fail or has failed over time. But his never does, and it never will. God's love is perfect, and through his love, we are made perfect. God's love is convicting. God's love is truly everything, from the beginning and to the end. He has loved us. Secondly, God gives. That he gave his only begotten son. Matthew 1:20-21. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. God's gift of Jesus was not the gift of just sending another person to the world. He was not another Moses, another Joshua, Daniel, or John the Baptist, which, don't get me wrong, are all great men of the Bible. But Jesus was so much more. God's gift would undo the curse of the world. Genesis 3:17, cursed the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat in all the days of thy life. The promised gift would slay the liar, the deceiver, the world, the devil himself. Genesis 3:15, I will put an enmity between thee and woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Jesus Christ was born of woman just like each and every one of us. He went through the same trials and temptations that we do today, just as natural man. He was tempted of the devil 3 times. And each time he answered with the word of God. Matthew 4:1-11. I've heard many people say that he was only tempted then. And that was it. Well, if you read the Bible tells you he went to town, house to house, church to church. He went everywhere that we did, and everywhere that we do today. The Pharisees tried to tempt him in Matthew 16:11 for a sign. Matthew 19, they tried to tempt him for stating a divorce and whether it was lawful for a man to put away his wife. He faced temptation just like we did. The difference was he sinned not. God's gift was the last sacrifice that ever would be given. It was the first atonement for sin. The shedding of blood that started in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3:22. For God himself sacrificed two lambs for clothing for Adam and Eve. The commandments given throughout the Old Testament that calls specifically for different sacrifices for different sins that were committed, that sacrifice would no longer be required. For the Son of Man came for the purpose, and that was to be the final atonement, the final sacrifice for all mankind. Isaiah 53 tells the story of his sacrifice for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. It goes on to tell us he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Praise God, by his love and his grace, his mercy, Jesus Christ would be the last lamb ever required. Romans 5:8. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Within Isaiah 53, it tells us he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The only way God would ever and will ever be satisfied would be through the shed blood of his only begotten Son. The only way to get into heaven is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. For he is the only atonement for sin. He is the only key to the door. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's promise that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. The definition of promise is to assure someone that one will definitely do, give, or arrange something, undertake or declare that something will happen. I want to establish two truths of God. Number one, he does not lie. Numbers 23:19 said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 1 Samuel 15:29 says, and also the strength of Israel, which is God, will not lie nor repent. For he is not a man that he should repent. Hebrews 6:18. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. Number two, God cannot change. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Meaning he doesn't even come close to changing his mind. By the very definition of who God is, I think it's safe to say he can keep a promise. It's safe to say if he said it, it's going to happen. If he said it, it's done. So when he said in John 3:16, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, you can believe it. Romans 10:9, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Another promise from God, and you can believe it. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone would agree that these are promises that God has given and that he will keep. And these are all great promises for those that accept him as his personal Savior. You have a promise that God You have a better home in eternity. But there's another promise. Everybody turn in your Bibles to Matthew 12:31. It says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." There's not a sin that you can commit in the world that God says, "I won't forgive you," except denying His Son, Jesus Christ. It don't matter how many times you've lied, if you've stolen, if you've done other things. You ask God to forgive you with a true repentant heart, He'll forgive you. But if you deny the Holy Spirit, you deny His Son, your name shall be blotted out of the book of life. First promise says, "Whoever believeth in Him shall not perish." This promise says, "Whosoever that does not believe shall not be forgiven." Revelation 20:14-15. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire." God did everything He possibly can do for you for a way out of hell. From the beginning, in Genesis, He promised His Son to come and slay the devil. Throughout history, it's foretold over and over again that He shall come. He makes every opportunity for each one of us to accept Jesus Christ into our hearts as our Savior, with a promise and a guarantee that says, "Whosoever will." But those that will not, you have His promise also, that a lake of fire shall be your eternity. For He has promised. God's forever, but have everlasting life. Turn over to Revelation 21:1-4. I smile every time I read this passage of Scripture. It brings great joy to my heart. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Doesn't that sound like a great forever? The everlasting life that we accept when we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts and our personal Savior may not be so glorious, so wonderful down here on earth. We're still going to go through trials and tribulations. We're going to have pain. We have suffering. Things are going to happen to us. God's going to challenge us. Look at the story of Job. How he was challenged, how he suffered. God never said salvation is going to be easy. But He did say, "I'm going to be there with you." He did say, "I will take that load from you. I will help you through the rest of your life if you put your faith and trust in the only begotten." And His promise of forever is for each and every one of us that accepts His Son into our hearts. The mansions are nothing. You know, John describes a wonderful, beautiful picture, but you know, he was man. And as man, he couldn't even come close they're using the right words for the glory of heaven. Can you imagine that? We get excited just about what he said, and that doesn't even come close to the true picture of what it's going to be like. And God has did that from you. From the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelations, God sent his Son for each and every one of us, for a promise of a better forever if we choose his only begotten. God never hid nothing from us. He put it all out there for us. And all we have to do is go get it. In this book, there's more promises than I can count. There's more truths than this world will care to know about. In this book is a beautiful life that God has promised. He has guaranteed it. He has put the shed blood of his Son upon it. And it's ours for the taking. And all we have to do is confess, ask for forgiveness, and allow Christ to do what he had come to do for each and every one of us. And that's to be our Savior. And we have the promise of a better tomorrow. Our salvation should live in us. The fire of our salvation should make us glow as hot as any fire in a fireplace. We should walk daily with smiles on our faces, our heads held high, and the joy in our eyes. People should ask you, just by the way you walk around, why are you so happy? Where does your joy come from? And your answer is easy. It's Jesus. You know, there's times when we get down. You know, there's things in life that happen to us. You know, death makes us sorrowful. You know, people at work, you know, can have a bad day. But your life should always show the joy of your salvation, no matter what's going on. Because he has died for you and gave you the promise of a blessed hope and a greater tomorrow than this lost world knows. And if you don't show them, no one else will. It does not matter what happens at work. It does not matter what happens outside in the store. If somebody cuts you off, sing a gospel song. Because that won't happen up there. Somebody makes you mad, bless them. Pray for them. Have the greatest gift that God has ever given if you're a saved child of God today. And that gift, that blessed hope, that joy, that sunshine of our life should just explode out of us. And how dare we hide it? How dare we smother the fire? We should let it burn eternally so others can see the joy of Jesus Christ. Heaven is just going to be so wonderful. In one of our gospel songs, it says, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by my hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. John 3:16 tells at the beginning, the middle, and the end of the Bible and our lives. Whether it's our life in heaven or our life in hell. From the beginning, God loved us and he sent his Son for us. And he shows us his everlasting. John 3:16, it tells us sin of the final sacrifice in our home eternal. That home is your choice. For the Word of God says, you know, he come to seek and to save all that which is lost. He died for each and every one of us. So you won't have to go to hell. And it's your choice. Remember, he's promised, whosoever will, A, accept his Son, or B, deny the Holy Ghost. John 3:16, you know, it's the verse that we teach all of our children to memorize first. Matter of fact, every child back there tonight was relearning John 3:16. You know, but for us, it should be the first verse we truly learn the depths of, so that we can teach the world what it means to us as children of the only begotten. John 3:16. His love. For God so loved the world. His gift. That He gave His only begotten Son. His promise. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Is forever. But have everlasting life. Are you saved tonight? Does your heart belong to God? Or have you denied the Holy Ghost? The choice is yours. Waiting on you. Let's stand. Father, Lord, we thank You for Your word. Lord, for Your promises, for Your grace, for Your mercy. Lord, I personally thank You for my salvation through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift Him up to You tonight. Lord, He is our Savior. Lord, and we thank You for Your love, for sending Him to this old wicked world to die for us. Lord, we deserve it not, but we thank You for Your undying love. Lord, Father, there's a lost one here tonight. Lord, we pray for that lost one's soul. Lord, just be with this service. Lord, may Your way and Your will be done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Choice is yours tonight. Jesus Christ died for each and every one of us. There's not a sin in this world that He won't forgive you of, except the denying the Holy Spirit. If He's calling you, come. It's easy. Yes, Lord. Yes. Maybe you are saved tonight. Has your life truly shown the glory of Your salvation? Have you smothered the Holy Spirit inside you, hidden your salvation? It's not yours to hide. The altar is open. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around. There's still time. Come. Don't leave tonight without making sure that you know the Savior. All right, everybody can be seated. Van drivers, y'all can. It's a little early. Y'all should have time for prayer. So, you got 20 minutes before they're going to let them out. So, prayer request. Yes, ma'am. Pray for Miss Amanda, Brother Randy. Anybody else? Miss Miss Colleen. That's progress. You said she got bit by a copperhead? From that area, I understand. Yes, Miss Tammy. Good. Anybody else? talked about canceling their return tickets. Yeah. Anybody else? Well, all right. Well, let's stand and be dismissed. Brother Norm, will you close us out tonight?